Welcome to the ministry of First Reformed Church of Aberdeen, South Dakota. Our worship services are at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. Now we join Pastor Hank Bone as he brings us God's Word.
This morning we'll take our text to be from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, the verses 13 through 16. But I want to begin by reading Psalm 127. And you can just listen. You don't have to turn there. You can turn to Mark 10, or you can turn with me. But in Psalm 127, it's a familiar five verses where we have, as one of the Song of Ascents of Solomon, he says, "Unless the Lord builds the house." Now, Solomon was charged with that task of building the temple of God. And so he has that in his background here. But he says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." And now turning to Mark chapter 10 and reading the verses 13 through 16. Jesus is later in his ministry, his three-year ministry. He's been under confrontation by the Pharisees. And he's also been followed by 12 men, disciples, as well as a multitude of others, but 12 primary disciples who now are starting to jockey back and forth as to which one of them is going to be the most important. And so we come to this little episode where Jesus has been teaching. And in the middle of his teaching, and the multitudes are following him in the region of Judea, it says, "Then they," though many of those who'd gone out to hear him, "then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.' And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy, infallible, and inspired word. Beloved children of the one true King, we come this Lord's Day to a new school year. As we send our children to new grades, new teachers, and new things to learn, we do so because we want the best for our children. As the psalm says, they are a heritage, an inheritance, a possession from Yahweh our God. But it has been my conclusion based on an observation over many years, over several decades, that there is the notion in the minds of many Christians, many Christian parents, that what goes on in the day school, and most of the time that is the government school, is to take priority over what goes on in the church school. Many a parent will be sure their son or daughter is up on time, dressed, their homework done, and off to school Monday through Friday. But Sunday school is not quite as important. But Psalm 127 reminds us that our children are a heritage from the Lord. And here in Mark 10, we have portrayed for us a display of parents, probably mothers, who are bringing their children to be blessed by Jesus. They want what is best for their children, and they especially desire to know that God's blessing will be upon their children. Many of you understand this, and you are diligent about family devotions and praying with your children, for your children, and bringing them to church. And you work with them on their Bible and their catechism memorization because you want them to be blessed by God. there is a truth that we all must set hard and fast as a foundation in our thinking. And it is this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But how shall they hear if there is no one to preach to them? Those are Paul's words in Romans chapter 10. If you desire God's blessing in your life and the lives of the members of your family, then understand that God's blessing flows to you from those words that flow from the mouth of God. Jesus is the one who said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." How seriously do we take those words? How, as we examine our lives, how do we put our lives in action based on what we know? As parents and teachers, you must understand that God has bestowed upon you the responsibility for the direction that the children of the church will develop in their relationship with God. Every one of us made a vow at the baptism of the children of this church that we are committed to the godly upbringing of the youth in this church. Every one of us did that. Every one of you children who have been baptized and are growing up in this church, as well as those of you who have grown up in this church, are called by God to take seriously the name of the triune God that has been placed upon you to make your calling and election sure. But Jesus' instruction in Mark chapter 10, the verses 13 through 16, is not only about these infant children being brought by their mothers to have Jesus lay hands on them and bless them. Jesus used this occasion to teach all of us the important lesson that the Christian gains access to the kingdom of God through Christ by childlike faith. We'll break this passage down into 3 points: our approach, our access, and our acceptance. So first, our approach. Look at verse 13. He opens, "Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them." And by that word "touch them," he means laying hands on them like an anointing. Luke identified these as infants being born in the arms of their mothers, approaching Jesus for one purpose. They want their children blessed. Now, you need to understand in approaching this passage that this is not teaching directly about the need to baptize your infants, although it is very much a text that bears on how we view our children in their relation to God and in their relation to the church. But these are covenant children who are viewed as the heritage of the Lord and are brought to Jesus as the Christ, that they might receive a particular blessing from him. And that is a good thing if it is understood properly. Some parents, however, place more emphasis on the right and the blessing than on the upbringing of the child. There are parents, often mothers, who will bring their infant or child to the church to be baptized, and once done, they are never seen again. As though the act of placing the water and the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is all that is needed to safeguard their child and assure their place in heaven. In such a case, they ignore the important relation to the church and the obligations that come with having the child baptized. And they thus render the sacrament as pure superstition. But in this episode, there was a greater problem. And it was that the disciples rebuked these mothers and sought to stop them from bringing their children to Jesus. The word "rebuke" means to express strong disapproval of the actions of those bringing their children to Jesus. How dare you come and infringe upon Jesus, the Lord? He's an important man, and you want to bother him with these trivial things, like bringing your children here. They were acting more like guards in front of the nightclub. The imagery here is one of the church leaders standing in the way of the people wanting to approach Jesus, rather than being facilitators of access into God's presence by their actions. They were, as Jesus described it, forbidding them from approaching him. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Could you imagine standing, having the elders standing out by the front doors, and as some people start walking up towards, nope, can't come in here, nope. We just go, no, that's just crazy. Yeah, it is. It's just crazy. And I can say that because of what happens. You see, beloved, what is our calling as disciples of God? Is it not to go into all the world and seek to bring people into the kingdom? You know, what is curious here is that not much earlier in Capernaum, in chapter, if you go back to chapter 9 and begin with verse 33, the disciples had been walking along and they had been disputing amongst themselves who would be the greatest. And Jesus wasn't in the middle of this conversation, but Jesus is Jesus. And so they came to a certain point where they stopped, and Jesus said, so what was that you guys were disputing, arguing about amongst yourselves? And he knows, right? And now they're kind of, as they often get when Jesus does this, they get kind of quiet and sheepish and non-responsive. But what they've been debating was, which one of us is going to be the greatest amongst us? Who's going to be the most important of us? And Jesus responded. He said, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And then he took a little child and he set him in the midst of the 12 disciples. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. So coming back to Mark 10, what you must see is that this act of bringing the children to Jesus is to be commended because they are doing what every parent should do. And Jesus, having just taken a little child and placed him in there and said, if you receive a child in my name, you're receiving them in my Father's name. And now here they're bringing children and he's saying, no, no. Like, I could just imagine Jesus, you know. Oh, how long shall I bear with these? How thick-headed are they? When are they going to finally get it? So we find in Mark 10, essentially almost a kind of application. And we see that as these mothers are to be commended, these parents are to be commended in bringing their children, not doing so, the opposite of it, should be understood by Jesus' reaction as displeasing to God. Because Jesus was extremely displeased with his disciples for trying to prevent them from bringing their kids into his presence. And just by way of application, what is church? Is church not an entering into the presence of God? Is it not bringing your children into the presence of God? So that not doing so is displeasing to God. Because what does it say? It says, when Jesus saw what the disciples did, he was greatly displeased. And that word is indignant. He was angry. How dare you? He's upbraiding his disciples. Well, the new school year presents an opportunity to fulfill an important duty as a parent, which is to bring your children to church, into the presence of God, with the goal that you want God's blessing in their lives. To neglect this is to show a great disregard for the spiritual welfare of your children. God wants you to bring your children to Him. You know, there are consequences for our actions. Consequences good, consequences bad. And you set forth a pattern for your kids by your own commitment, by your own devotion. When you resist church, you send a lesson to your kids that church is to be resisted. When church is made to be secondary, then you feed into our culture which says church is irrelevant. God is irrelevant. The Bible is irrelevant. But when you commit yourself to Christ and you show forth in your family and in your home how important the Word of God is, you communicate that it is to be central to our lives. So what pattern you establish becomes a repeated pattern in your children. Well, secondly, we know our access. That was our approach to God. But our access to God, in verse 14, Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." One of the key aspects to be seen in this story is that our access to God comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw in Mark 9, where Jesus said, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." We want our access to God. And here's our access to God. We have to get up in the morning, get dressed, and come to church. We have to be like these parents. Bring our kids. In Mark 10:14, Jesus rebuked his disciples, saying, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." Now, Jesus makes it very clear that he desires the children to be brought to him so he could lay his hands on them and bless them. And from this, we rightly conclude that God's grace is extended even to those who are young, to all those that the Lord chooses to bless. This is not to say that God saves children who are blessed simply because they have been baptized or are even young. The story is an analogy. It's a picture. Jesus taught in Matthew 18, in the first five verses, by a similar picture. He said, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" There's that argument again, right? "Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven.'" That's pretty strong words, right? Unless you are converted and be as little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So when you see that, you've got to stop and go, "Whoa, wait a minute. I got to think about this. Because I do want to go to heaven. I better think about this, because this is saying if I don't have both these qualifications, I'm not going to make it. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." Now the key is that Jesus said, unless you are converted and become as little children. And this brings us to consider, what was Jesus' lesson targeting? Was he just saying the kingdom of God is filled with little children? No. While we must not doubt many children who die are now in heaven, that was not the lesson here. Rather, Jesus was teaching that access to the kingdom of heaven is through the grace of God based on complete trust in God to save you. What is in focus is childlike faith. Childlike faith, not children of faith. There are at least two elements to this kind of faith. First is an unassuming humility, where you approach God completely stripped of all pride and sense of being worthy of any of God's grace. And that's what grace means, isn't it? We don't deserve God's blessing. We can't earn God's blessing. God freely gives it to us despite our unworthiness. That's the meaning of the word grace. Secondly, childlike faith is a simple trust. Children are wholly dependent on their parents for everything that they trust their parents will give them. Those things that are necessary to them. They come and they don't question that if it's dinner time and I need to eat dinner, my mother, my father, they're going to provide that for me. They're going to give me those things I need. I haven't earned them. It's what parents do. And it's what God our Father does for us. And so we enter the kingdom. That is, we have access into the kingdom of God when we do so through the saving grace of God. The Holy Spirit works in us at conversion so that we repent and we believe in the Lord Jesus as our only Savior and the only name under heaven where we may be saved. We don't question that. Like little children, we don't question our parents. We believe what they say. We follow what they do. So our approach to God must be through Jesus. And our access into the kingdom of God must be through a true and saving faith. And that faith must come through the hearing of the word of God. It should be our desire for God to receive us. That's why we come to church. It's our desire for God to receive us. But thirdly, we look at our acceptance. In verse 15, we read, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." It doesn't say receive the kingdom of God when you're a little child, but rather as a little child, in the way a little child might receive something. Much of our focus today has been on the desire to see our children blessed by God, but you should see that focus shift in this passage from not only how our children are blessed by God, but how we are blessed by God. You know, if you want to be received into God's kingdom, you must, in your approach to God, come to Him in complete dependence and trust with childlike faith. And having said that, we must recognize that that strips us of pride. I think about the story in Luke chapter 18. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, where we also see that Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. And so he tells this story. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Of course, tax collectors are like, in those days, they were like the worst of people. They were undeserving of anything. And the Pharisee, on the other hand, he was the righteous guy. He was the most deserving. And so these two go into the temple. And the Pharisee stood, and he prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I'm not like that other man, that tax collector. Not like extortioners or unjust or adulterers or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. He understood, "I am not worthy." But he beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said this, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, went down to his house right with God, had access to the kingdom of heaven, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Remember how Psalm 127 opened? It opened with that statement, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." But how often do we seek to go about our relationship with God by building the house our own way? I think that is why Jesus said that on the day of judgment, many are going to come and they're going to say all kinds of, that they did all kinds of things in Jesus' name. "Lord, we did this in your name. We did that in your name." And Jesus is going to turn to them and say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." They went about their religious activity, building their house in their own way, thinking they were serving God. Even as this Pharisee is praying, he says, I am serving you better than that guy over there. They failed to understand this lesson of childlike faith. The Christian life is not that complicated. It really isn't, is it? Problem isn't with how clear the Christian life is laid out for us. We sometimes complicate it, but the Bible lays out how we are to walk worthy in Christ. And the question before you this morning is, are you approaching God through the access God has provided for you in His Son Jesus Christ so that you find acceptance into the kingdom of God? Are you reading the scriptures and are you seeking to live according to what God says? Well, this is true for all of us, from the child in Sunday school to the pastor in his study. We are all to come to God in childlike faith, seeking God's blessing. But we must also be mindful of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 14:20, where he said, brethren, do not be children in understanding. Have childlike faith, but don't be children in your understanding. However, in malice, be babes, but in understanding, be mature. The story ends. And Jesus took them up in his arms, and he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. The blessing of God is no light thing. It is the act of God bestowing divine favor on one with the implication that the verbal act itself constitutes a significant benefit. To be here, sitting, and to receive God's blessing is no light matter. And the act by which Jesus laid his hands on these children and blessed them, it is the bestowal of that favor of God upon them. In the pronouncement of God's blessing upon the congregation, there is that real bestowal of God's favor on the people of God, both young and old. Amen. Let's rise for prayer. Our God and Father, as we think about your word unto us, the words of our Lord Jesus, even his response to his own disciples, how often are we like the disciples, not getting it? And yet, Father, we all desire your blessing. We desire to come before your presence with thanksgiving and joy, to enter into your gates. And we know, Father, this only comes through that work of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, where he died in our place and paid the penalty for our sins that he might purchase for us a place in heaven. And so, Father, we pray that in our acceptance with you, that we would understand it is an acceptance that bears upon how we approach you, that we approach you with a childlike faith and total dependence and trust and reverence for you. So, Father, help us to walk worthy of the calling with which you have called us. Hear us now as we praise you've taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.